Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the Feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, wait.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 373. Brought in a dynasty OG, but I am here, as always, with the Feverish Fanero.
What up, what up?
And we have none other than Dynasty Rich, Rich Dotson himself. Rich, I think you know you're a dynasty OG.
I would never call myself a dynasty OG, but I've been around for a while. So, I mean, the term would fit.
Dynasty original gangster.
I mean, I've been there since the gates opened up, you know, a while ago. We're one of the early websites, so we'll take it.
You might have kicked the gates down, to be fair.
Sounds more accurate.
I like it. Let's go with it.
Well, I mean, I will go with it. But, I mean, I always view Dynasty as a community. And, like, I've always said this about other sites, you know, whether it be, like, you know, DLF, anybody, man, like, just like we're all in this together. Like we're in a niche of dynasty that, you know, that I'm extremely happy to see grow over, you know, since I started. Like I've been playing Dynasty for 20 years. We started Dynasty Nerds a little over 10 years ago. And I love the fact that, like, you know, my main purpose is always to have to grow the game of Dynasty. That's my purpose for what I do, is to grow the game of Dynasty and then help people along the way playing it. But, you know, by helping people along the way playing it, they're gonna have more fun playing it, they're gonna tell their friends, and that's how, like, I help grow the game, right? Like making it, trying to help people have a good time, and mostly you have a better time when you're winning. So that's my goal, and we're all in this together to grow the game. And, you know, so I've been lucky enough to have some opportunities, like with like ESPN and whatnot. And then, you know, when I hear people, my biggest thing I love to hear too, besides being, hey, I won a championship because of your advice, that's my favorite thing to hear. But outside of that, like, hey, man, like, I didn't even know what Dynasty was, but I heard you on this show and I checked it out. Or like, I just randomly found your podcast and I found it entertaining. And I didn't even know what Dynasty was. Like, I was just looking for fantasy. And then I got a Dynasty and now I love Dynasty more redraft. And that's what makes me happy. So, you know, we're all in this together. You know, your show, anybody else's podcast out there is talking anything to do with Dynasty. Like, we're all in this together. And as, you know, the community grows, like, we all grow. You know, it's that old saying, like, you know, high tides rise all ships. So, or something on those lines. I'm not a good quote guy. So, I mean, we're all in this together, man. Just trying to, like, promote a game that we're all passionate about, that we all love and want to see grow. And, you know, we're just trying to get people a taste, because once you get that taste, It's hard not to want more and take another big bite. So it's good to be back with you guys, man. I love doing your guys' show every single year. This is the first show time I'm on here doing it where we're not talking a specific rookie. So it's exciting too. I'm excited to see where this goes.
So, and I know our listeners are too. I know they're excited to have you here. They know what we're about to get into. Rich might have less of an idea than our listeners at this point. And you're going to have some good stories for us. I know we're going to do the good, the bad, the ugly, from bliss to devastation, how you feel about rookies and what they've meant to you throughout your dynasty life.
It's going to be fun. One of the most notorious rookie pick haters in the business today. The guy who constantly tells you to sell your picks. Who continually has the least amount of draft picks ever in all my leagues. But this year I have the most I think I've ever had, because I have multiple firsts in some leagues. But usually I'm a notorious pick trader. But I'm sure to come up in this conversation why as well.
Yeah, I think it'll have to at some point. Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's the best part about these shows is our guests kind of take it where they want to, right? We start off with the most open-ended question of the night, which is, Rich, what do rookies mean to you? When I say that, I mean, you can take that any way you want.
Yeah, and listen, there's so many different ways to play this game, right? The game that we love. And that's what I love. And I was talking to Scott Connor about to set the expo. We had a conversation on Twitter not too long ago. Like, I love the fact, like, on a dynasty panel that Scott and I were talking, and Scott and I play pretty much two completely different ways of dynasty. But like I said on the panel, it's like, it's great because both of us have positive results, right? So there's multiple ways to win in dynasty. The way I play, in a way like Scott plays. And there's a lot of people that play like Scott as well, which is totally fine. You know what I mean? Like, I would never look down on that. Like, that's how you play and something to play. Like, awesome, right? Like, we're all on the same goal. And what's the number one goal when you're playing a game? It's to win the game, right? Yep. Like, that's the number one goal. And I just say sometimes, like, I feel people like lose focus on that. I think when people ask me what the biggest problem in Dynasty is I think too many people lose focus on the goal in Dynasty. I think it's the easiest thing to slip through your fingers. And that's like winning the championship and nothing else matters. And so when sometimes like when you talk rookie picks, people will be like, oh, dude, I can't give up a first for him because he's not worth a first. Well, why is he not worth a first? Because the community says that? Because some Dynasty trade calculator says that? Is that why he's not worth a first? Listen, man, like, first of all, your first is going to be a late first. First of all, okay? Which means we did a study here at Dynasty Nerds where picks 9, 10, 11, and 12 in your rookie draft, historically, going back at ADP, over the last 12 years, I think we went back, you literally have a 50% chance of, a 50% chance of the player that you draft to be rosterable down the road. not startable, rosterable, okay? To be on a 30-man roster, 50% chance. So for me, you know, when people say it's not a first, I think some people, like when you're a contender, they're so afraid of losing trades or giving them these rookie picks that they won't put themselves in the best position to win a championship. Oh, I'm sorry. Joe Mixon's not worth a first. Well, it looks like you need to start a running back, buddy, to go out there and win that ship. So I think he's worth a first to you. And again, it's a late first. We're not talking top six premium picks here. So what rookie picks mean to me are twofold, right? They are tremendous trading assets in Dynasty Fantasy Football. People foam at the mouth for them. They are the gold in Dynasty, right? It's the unproven. It's the unknown. It's the grass is greener on the other side. And we all know sometimes it is not. People treat I treat third round picks like if that's going to get a trade done, you can have my third round pick for the rest of my life if this is going to get a superstar in my eyes, because the odds of that picking are slim to none. So rookie picks to me are not only great trading assets, and the counterpoint, everything I just said, is rightfully so. Because the best way to obtain that superstar, to get that guy who is now a first-round startup player without paying an exorbitant payment, is to draft them for free with one pick, with a click of a button, with a sticker on a board. That's how you get that player. That's how you obtain the Puka Nacuas, right? That's how you get the Sam Laportas who go in the second round, right? Even though I took them in the first round. These are how you get these guys. So, you know, it's just about the way I look at them is like, where basically I view a rookie pick all depends on where my team stands, right? Like, if I am rebuilding my team, rookie picks in my eyes are the most important thing that I can acquire. And players are the opposite of what I want on my team. If I'm a contender, rookie picks are meaningless to me. And to the point is, like, I don't care about gambling on a rookie. I have a window right now. And a lot of times, Dynasty windows are, you know, 2 to 4 year windows of championship caliber teams. It all depends. And a lot of times it's less than that because, you know, injuries happen so often. Players lose their jobs so often. And sometimes your team is so thin, you can't overcome those kind of big mistakes. When a running back goes down and he's out for the year, like, and you can't overcome that Nick Chubb injury because he was a main point of your offense to win. And yeah, the rest of your team is good, but we know in Dynasty, when a Dynasty league has been going on for a while, you know, I usually say after about 4 years, Dynasty leagues really start to switch and you really get top heavy and bottom heavy teams, right? Guys are reloaded and then the contenders. And I always say, that's why I always say it's so easy to get stuck in the middle because it's a farce, right? Like, people think they're pretty good, or, oh, I snuck into playoffs this year, my team's okay. No, that's all false. And people don't realize that in Dynasty, it's why we built the Dynasty GM to give you that bird's eye view, is because you don't realize you have 3 to 4 teams on the bottom of your roster or in your league. They're intentionally trying to lose. Like, they're selling all their assets. So it naturally pushes you up to that mid-range. And that's how you get stuck in the middle. So when I'm a contender, I view draft picks as assets to keep my contention going. Oh, I can trade up I can give up my first, my late first, which I expect to be 112 for a running back that probably had, like, I gave up a first for Joe Mixon 2 years ago, right? Like, I gave up a first for Mike Evans 2 to 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, people are so quick to say, well, like, man, I know, but that guy's only got like 2 years left, which we don't know. It could be 2 to 3.
Sure.
Okay, that's 24 months. That's two dynasty seasons. If you win back-to-back ships, if it goes on a trophy, that's legendary stuff, right? That's stuff you tell your friends about. And you're like, dude, I won back-to-back ships, right? If you three-peat, you're a dynasty. You coined the term. Like, you're a dynasty team. So for me, I look at those as assets. And if I can trade my first this year for a guy that has 2 to 3 years left, and then trade him next year for a guy that has 2 to 3 years left, I have two starters for 3 years. Well, guess what? Now my team is in the best position to do that and create a dynasty. And I miss out on pick 9 through 12, somewhere in that range. And now I no longer have a 50% chance on hitting a rosterable player. And yeah, could I hit on those guys? I could, but there's odds there. Like, again, do I want to go into this poker hand with 9-10 suited, or do I want to go in that with ace king suited? Give me ace king suited every time. And sometimes when you play the cards right and you trade those first, you can get aces, right? Like trading first for like first plus for AJ Brown, trading a first for T Higgins, trading a first for a guy that, a running back that will have some upside, right? Trading a first to get a guy that you believe in, like Devon Achane, something along those lines, So to me, they're just assets, and they're there to be used in many different ways, via trade or draft. So it just depends where I'm at, really, is how I'm going to view them, right? Like, where am I at? Am I in the middle? Because if I'm in the middle, then I'm blowing it up. If I'm in the middle, I'd rather just be on the bottom, right? Unless I'm in the middle and, like, I am a piece away. Right. Now that draft, like, I don't, again, if I'm just a piece away, I want that proven piece. I don't want to gamble. Because I'm in the middle. Again, my window's short. So if I'm going to do it, yeah, I have no problem. And that's the thing. People are like, man, and that's the hardest, right? When you have pick 1-6, 1-7, to trade that away, because there's always something sexy there. And if you're in super flex league, oh boy, is it get pretty enticing in that range. So I understand it's hard to give away that asset. But sometimes it's like when you're looking at things from a point per game basis, like I'm okay with getting something pretty close, as long as it's guaranteed, and understanding I could get blown out of the water here. But listen, if you trade for a proven asset, you don't lose that trade because you have a functional piece for your roster. Mm-hmm. It might not be as good as the piece that you trade away. It ended up being like, say you trade away 1-7 a couple years ago and that turns into Justin Jefferson. Yeah, that really sucks. It really does. But if you got a guy like Mike Evans who produces like a wide receiver one every single year, well, guess what? You lost a trade technically, but you're not a loser, right?
Right.
You didn't go out there and draft Doriel Green Beckham. You didn't draft Jalen Reagor, right? Can you imagine, like, no, dude, Jalen Reagor went the first to the Philly. Like, I gotta take this guy. I know you're offering Mike Evans in a third for this pick, but like, I gotta take Jalen Reagor. Well, guess what? Yeah, now you're 100% a loser. So
yeah,
I really do look at rookie picks as just like, where is my team at? Like, where am I at in my dynasty league? That's how I view them. Like, assets that are trade commodities or tools to help me rebuild my team. That's what they are in my eyes.
I think even like a lot that you said there, like from the contending aspect of it, when you're like, first of all, you're trying to win, you traded your 2025 hypothetically first away, that's probably going to be a late first, and you're also taking somebody else out of contention while you're trading those firsts away to give yourself a better odds of winning. I love that. But then you do, man, I have some teams like that now where I'm getting to the point where they've been kicking ass for a while. Not all my teams, but I have some teams where I'm starting to look at and I'm kind of like, wow, I have some expiration dates here that I have to figure out, like, if I'm going to keep just fighting it out with all these players, because now I have no future picks on some of those teams, or if I have to start trying to turn that roster a little earlier than I wanted to.
Yeah, and it's hard sometimes because sometimes you're stuck with these older assets. And what's tough about that, what I found, because trust me, Swag, I'm in the same position with a lot of my teams where a lot of them older. And it's like, I got a really good offer in my oldest league that's 20 years old. Like, somebody offered me Jalen Waddle for Saquon Barkley straight up. Like, okay, this is a one QB league. And like, so the natural inclination is like, yeah, you take Jalen Waddle, right? Like, he's historically been a wide receiver one every year. But by doing that trade, I immediately take myself out of contention, right? Like, immediately. And the problem would be then now I have all these other old assets, right? I have Jalen Waddle, all these other old assets that I have to try to trade. And if I can't trade all these other assets, now I just have an old team with a loser and I got Jalen Waddle. And it's going to be so hard to rebuild that team. So I get that too, man. It's it, it's hard. It's so easy for people like, oh, you got to blow that team up. You got to blow it up. Well, you got to come down and you got to work a plan out and you got to make sure you're reaching out to your, I mean, it takes work to blow up a team, right? Because you got to reach out to all, hey, is there anybody, like, are you interested in DeAndre Hopkins at all? At all. Like, I see you need to, like, that's why we had the Dynasty GM, right? Like, it looks like you're a little weak on wide receiver. Like, dude, honestly, like, I'll take a 25 second for DeAndre Hopkins. It looks like you can use him. Like, you got to get a plan in place before you're ready to blow that up, because otherwise, you could end up dropping that, you could have that grenade in hand to throw it to blow the team up, and you end up dropping it at your feet instead. And you're the one end up getting, you know, like, hurt by it. So I get that too, man. It's a tough call. And where I've continually pushed my leagues down the road, my contenders, by trading my first and having these players, I have probably about seven teams in that same predicament. Like, man, like, this is the end of the road, and I'm very aware of it. And it's kind of like, do I start to blow it up now? Like, and you try to get ahead of it, right, to try and get some assets, or you just say F it and I'm going for the ship again, right, and let it be. And if what I think I'm at right now for most of mine is, for a couple of them, is like, you know what, I'm going to ride out another year. I'm going to go for the glory, but I'm just going to make sure now I'm not trading my first anymore. Right. Yeah. Like, and if I get it in, and honestly, for those old teams, definitely like this time from April all the way up until September, really, like, you can't trade old players now, right? Like, nobody's buying those now, but all of a sudden we get to October and DeAndre Hopkins is wide receiver 13 or 14, somewhere on those lines. And like Stephon Diggs is regained some value. Like, that's the best time to sell those guys, because contention teams are dealing with injuries, right? Like, obviously you take the risk of injuries there, but the contending teams are dealing with injuries. So people get hurt every single week. You know, after 20 years of doing this, you see every single week there's a major injury. Every single week. So then those players actually start to regain value. And then if I was going to blow a team up, like, I'd rather know where my team stands in October than I would, like, any other time else, right? Because that's the time to blow the team up with an old team, is, like, in season. You're in October, probably mid-October. You might have an injury or something happens. You're like, yeah, this might be the end of the road. Then you blow it up, and then you're acquiring picks. And it might be 2 years down the road, but once you blow it up, it doesn't matter, right? And honestly, sometimes I don't mind. Some people hate trading for picks 2 years down the road. I don't mind trading for two picks 2 years down the road. Two reasons why, or actually, there's only one reason why. Well, two reasons. One, I'm blowing it up. I want as many picks as I possibly get. But two, if I'm trading my picks, these guys, to a contender, well, guess what? They're a contender. So their pick is for sure probably going to be late next year. I would much rather give them this old guy and then have a pick 2 years down the road where they have a much highly likely chance to be at least a lower draft pick, right? Like, so,
sure.
Like, where everybody else says, dude, you can't trade for that pick. It's 2 years down the road. I would make an argument when you're trading with a contender, like, even they're offering you next year's first. Like, if you have a stable league, like, dude, give me 2 years down the road, right? Like, to a contender. Like, you feel like a strong contender. It's like, dude, I don't want your first next year. It's guaranteed to be like 112, 111, 110. Mm-hmm. How about you give me 2026 instead? Why? Because that opens the door for opportunity for him to feel that bug next year, right? Now, all of a sudden, he's in here mid-October going, man, I got two guys hurt. I don't have any draft picks. I didn't have any draft picks last year because I traded them all away. I should make this trade. Like, or or that pick's now higher, you know, or, and I've done that before, and that pick ends up being one. It's happened twice to me where I've traded to it for a contender with a contender, and I traded for a pick 2 years down the road, and twice in my lifetime doing Dynasty, that's turned into the 1-1.
Yeah, I like that. I have one more question, because I know Fornero's got somebody he's trying to get in here, but while we're on this conversation, and I want to stay with, like you mentioned, a stable league for this hypothetical, but does league activity dictate how you're going to go into a rebuild? If you're in a league that you know is kind of uber active, you have a couple trade partners, you feel like you can get some deals done, versus the league that maybe it's a little bit more stagnant and you know you're going to have to work harder to get those deals done, will that change how you go into that?
No, because it's on me as an owner to keep pushing the subject, right? Like, if I'm trying to get trades done, and listen, I have leagues that are some, you know, when the off season's here, like, they're checked out completely. Like, I'll send a trade offer and I'll get no response. I'll send like nothing. But no, it wouldn't change my approach, because I would just hound that person, like, hey, man, just trying to get a hold of you. Like, I'm trying to work some deals here. Like, I think I'm gonna make some trades here. Like, what can we do? Like, it looks like, again, you have needs here. I have fill-ins for that need. So, like, No, I don't think that would change my team because I don't really care about the rest of the league. I just care about my team, what I'm going to do. And there's 11 other people. So if there's two people, three people that are stagnant, I would hope to find, like, if a league was that dead, I wouldn't just want to be in it. You know what I mean? Right, I just want to be in a league that was that dead. So if I got frustrated enough where, like, I did try to blow it up and I reached out to every owner and they all just kind of ignored me. And then and when I say ignore, I mean, I'm talking about not even respond, you know? I would just leave the league, honestly, because that wouldn't be fun to me. It wouldn't be because, like, oh, I couldn't trade my players. It's like, dude, I sent 11 teams offers for two months this summer, and I didn't get a single response. Like, this league is stagnant. It's dead. And for me, that's not fun, and I play this game to have fun. So that's what I would do. As long as my team's in good standards, like, I would never leave a dynasty league. I've only left, like, one dynasty league in my whole life, but, like, I would never leave a team in bad shape.
Yeah, that's not cool.
You guys know who you are out there.
Yeah, they do.
And most importantly, I know who you are. Lucky for you, I don't call names out in this business.
Rich, pre-show, you were telling me over at Nerds, you guys have covered over 72 player profiles, rookie player profiles. As you know, back you've been hopping on with us at Rookie Fever for 3 or 4 years now. I think the first rookie profile you and I did together was Kenneth Walker, so that was about 3 years ago. There were a lot less profiles back then. Even Nerds was doing less profiles back then than the whole industry is doing today. My question is, do you ever get rookie fatigue? And if you do, when does it hit you?
Now, right now, a week before the draft. It's just because you're so close to the finish line and I watch so much film. There's so much studying involved. So I wouldn't really call it fatigue because, like, you still get excited. Like, we just did our last show of receivers, and, like, it's probably the best group yet, right? And we do two shows in a row. So, like, I'm doing two podcasts back to back. So we're doing 2.5 hours of podcasting. But so, like, it's not like once I sit down to podcast, like, I'm hanging out with my friends and we're talking dynasty, but, like, that's fun. And, like, going over all the work that we've did, it's fun. But sometimes the work, like, what makes it fun is, like, when you're watching, like, you know, the Coker kid out of Colgate, wherever he went to school, like, you, or like Mayan Williams out of Ohio State. Like, when you're watching these guys and, like, you're watching them, and you're like, this guy just not even gonna get drafted, right? Like, this, like, what am I even doing here? But, like, you have to do that to find that out, right? Like, you have to find, you gotta make sure you watch more than one game to make sure it wasn't just a bad game, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then you find guys that you're super excited about. Like, I mean, I tell you, there's always a couple guys every year I'll watch, like, every game I can. Like, Dalton Kincaid was one of those guys. Like, Breece Hall. Like, I watched every game I could possibly put my hands on Breece Hall because he was so fun to watch and, like, getting generally excited. So sometimes just, like, yeah, right now I get a little fatigued, but it's more, it's like, dude, I just can't wait to have a break, right? Like, I just can't wait to have free time back in my normal life where my wife's like, what are you going to do? Like, it's 7 o'clock. What are you going to go do? I'm like, I'm going to go lay in bed and watch tape.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there for 2 hours watching tape and putting notes in my Mac. And then she gets in bed next to me. And I'm sitting there making noise, going like a little noise, like, oh, that was sweet. They're like, oh, what a catch. Like, oh, way to box that. Oh, way to get off the line. Like, oh, what a catch. And like showing her, like, hey, look at this Ricky Pearsall catch. You know, like, look at this. Like, she's like, oh, that's pretty good. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, can you make any other good catches? So I'm like, yeah, let me go back to this game right here, too. You know what I mean? So, like, it's fun, but it's also like, it's weird to say. That's what I'm saying. Like, fatigue, like, but, like, still parts of it are fun, but, like, there's always those guys that, you know, like, you're talking about, like, fifth round rookie picks, guys that aren't going to get drafted in the NFL draft. And, like, when you're spending hours upon hours of your week watching tape and taking notes and then reading other people's notes to compare to your notes, just to kind of see where, like, more so to see, like, if you're off base or, like, maybe there's something you miss, right? Like, there's multiple guys in this business I trust, and I'll trust their scouting reports. So, like, after I get done with mine, like, I'll go back and read theirs. And then if I see, like, three of them had the same kind of note and I don't have that note, like, I'll go back and intentionally watch that player again in multiple games looking for that specific attribute, right? Like when Matt O'Hara tells me after I get done with my Roma Dunze tape and I'm like, man, I can't find really anything I don't like about this kid. And he's like, well, actually, I have a big problem. And, like, I feel like he could be pressed and held at the line. And I think at the NFL level, it could be a problem with him. He's like, go back and watch. And I'm like, shit, I got to go back and watch. You know what I mean? Like, to see either I agree or disagree. And it's like, but it's great because, like, I want to do that because I want to make sure when I'm doing my podcast, I can get the most accurate opinion of my own personal opinion, because it's all this is, right? That's all we do. It's just these are all of us putting amount of work in and we want to put in and then getting a base opinion on that. So if I'm gonna give an opinion out there and knowing that I have an audience as large as we have, like I want to make sure that I'm doing myself a, you know, a justice and doing myself the right service here to my people listening to me, that I at least put the work in and I'm not here talking out my ass about something that I just read, right? Like these are my honest opinions. It's why I built the film room and Dynasty Nerds in the first place. And kind of going on bias. And that's what I do for college football. Like I don't watch a ton of college football. Like I watch it. I'm an Ohio State guy. And I watch the big games, but like I go on these rookies with a very fresh perspective, right? Like I'll hear their names on Twitter, but I don't watch their film. And sometimes like I'll hear their names on Twitter and I'll go into it and I'm like, man, that they're right. This is super exciting. And sometimes I'm like, oh, what are these guys talking? Like people like this guy? Like I just don't understand it. Like, you know, like people talking about Quentin Johnston. You know, I'm like, I don't see it. Like, I just don't see it. And where everybody's talking this guy up and saying he's a stud and tell me I'm an idiot for I don't. Like, I just don't see it. And granted, like Quinn Johnson had 1 year in the NFL. He's a lot to turn around. But then when I see exactly what I complained about on his college tape and it translates to the NFL, then like, yeah, okay. Like part of that makes it rewarding too about watching all that stuff and doing that fatigue where like, and some of those guys you have to watch more of because like, you're like, all these guys are talking this guy up. Like, what am I missing? And sometimes you're just feeling like you're missing something. And then you're watching more tape and more tape. And some are easier than others, right? Like when you watch a guy like Ricky Pearsall, his game tape, every game is 10 minutes because he's playing every single play. When you watch a guy like Roman Wilson, every game 3 minutes because he's not in as many plays. You know, like same thing like J.J. McCarthy. It's easy. And like for me, sometimes I get excited. I'm like, I'll click open somebody's tape and I'm like 3 minutes and 38 seconds. I'm like, oh yeah, baby. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. So again, the long-winded answer is right about now when that fatigue kicks in. Is it's a week before the NFL draft. We have one more show to go. And it's more like the finish line's right there. And I can't wait to get to it. Cause like once this is over, after next week's over, things for me are like easy street for a couple weeks because now we're just talking about all these rookies, where they landed, re-ranking them, seeing where their draft capital is. Like all the hard work is done. I did that for a couple months. And then like it's the hardest time for me to do Dynasty Nerds is rookie season. Because like people that don't know, like when they see me, like, oh, you're a fantasy football analyst. Like, wow, you got to be really happy it's over. The season's over because you feel good. And I'm like, no, this is about to be the hardest work I do. Like I gotta watch rookies for the next 3-4 months and break them down. So it's a lot. I mean, it's like anything that you do for like 3 months straight, right? Like, and you grind at it. Like when it's near the end, you're just like, dude, I am ready for this to be over. I am ready for, you know, I am ready for springtime. I am ready for summertime. Let's get into a new season.
Well, Swags and I knew you would be perfect for this series. You just kind of ooze with strategy. So let's dig into a little bit more strategy. What do you think the biggest mistake people make this time of year in regards to rookie?
Regards to rookie this time of the year, it could be just overvaluing the rookies, right? Like falling into the name of your show, Rookie Fever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where everything looks like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Everything looks everything. Shiny. Everything's new. And guys like Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, who like you only focus on the upside, right? Like, yeah, dude, but if he puts it all together, like he's a wide receiver one for sure. And you're like, yeah, for sure. Like if it all works out, for sure he is. Yeah, that's the upside for sure. So it's kind of like falling into that, like that gaze of that upside. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll trade you T. Higgins because he's a wide receiver too. And he's not going to be a wide receiver. This guy could be a wide receiver one. And like, I try to tell people like, listen, there's only 12 wide receiver ones every year. There's only 12. I talk about this all the time. Like on my show, like people talk about this in Dynasty. Like you realize there's only 12 wide receiver ones. And when you put one in, that means you got to take one out. And if you put two in, you got to take two out. And guess what? In this rookie class, when you're talking Adonai Mitchell, Brian Thomas, and even a guy who I love, who's my wide receiver five, Ladd McConkey, unfortunately, you have three studs that could definitely be wide receiver ones in Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Marv Harrison Jr. But even those three, like, who are you pushing out? Are you pushing out Justin Jefferson? Probably not. You pushing out Jamar Chase? Probably not. CeeDee Lamb? No, you're not. I'm on Ross St. Brown? Not doing it. Oh, my goodness. We're a third of the way through. We're a third of the way through. Hey, you going to think Tyreek Hill's not going to be a wide receiver one? Yep, that's five. We're a third. Now we're almost halfway through. Hey, how about A.J. Brown? That's six. oh my goodness, now we're halfway through. And then that's what I'm talking about, guys like Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Garrett Wilson, Amari Cooper, who was a wide receiver one who doesn't get enough respect on his name. I know he's a Brown, but still, he's always been that way for me, even when he's a Cowboy. You know, like the list goes on and on and on. So it's like, yeah, there's upside, but like there's guys out there right now that are dogs, right? And some of them are young. And like, who are they overtaking? Like, that's where it is. So like, you get so caught up, I think the people, they get so caught up on the upside and reading what they see on Twitter and just like completely overvaluing that draft pick.
Did rookie fever ever fool you, Rich?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So he got me real good. I thought for sure, you know, Clyde Edwards, I thought he was a perfect fit for that offense. I literally thought he was going to be the next Brian Westbrook. That's what I thought. You know, and like Andy Reid, when I'm reading quotes that Pat Mahomes specifically said, go get me Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When I see Andy Reid, you know, somebody goes up to Andy Reid in the scouting department and says, you know who he reminds me of? Brian Westbrook. And then Andy Reid's response is, he's better than Brian Westbrook. Yeah. Like, that gets me excited, right? And then watching his college tape in an offense and seeing how he works. Like, yeah, he fooled me, man. It's probably one of the biggest fool's gold I've ever been caught up in Dynasty in my entire life. And I went on my podcast, went on a 15-minute rant while, like, you should take him 1-1. And, you know, I firmly believed it with all my heart, like, that he was going to be in that offense. Where, like, I didn't think he was the best running back, right? Like, I thought DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins were the best running backs. I actually had Jonathan Taylor as my running back 4 in that class, and he ended up being the best. But I firmly believed, and again, that went against my tape. That's my biggest thing I always have to learn from. Like, I knew all that time putting that work on the tape, and I clearly had Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my running back 4. I had him behind Jonathan Taylor, right? Clearly he was there. And I let that first round pedigree into that offense and what I had read from Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, and I let me turn that into fool's gold. So again, what looked at it like Brownie and Strike in the rainbow, I wasted the 1-1 pick on a pretty solid class there. I mean, obviously JK's been hurt, but DeAndre Swift still holds value. Jonathan Taylor obviously was RB1. I don't even remember the receivers that were in that class, you know, but like, yeah, he tricked me good. That's probably the biggest dupe I ever got out of first round picks and players that
we
I like.
We can add your name to a very, very long list of the same people that got fooled. And I think the thing that you rarely hear, even on this show, a lot of people have said CEH was like the first answer that came to mind. Never really went back in time like you just did and said why. Like, there was a lot of things that I was looking at that fooled me. Like, a lot of and you yourself said, but it wasn't my own two eyeballs on film, right? Like, it was all the other things that fuel rookie fever. And rookie fever, give our listeners advice, like when they start falling for some of those other things that weren't your own eyeballs, what's the aspirin, what's the Advil, what's the fever reducer to the kind of like bring you back down to the ground?
It's a slap in the face
you get, right?
It's a slap in the face that brings you back. And listen, but you know, at the same time, I don't even really regret it, right? Because like, I truly believed that was the case. And it wasn't like he had first round draft capital as a running back as well. You know what I mean? So like, that just, for me, that's just part of the game. And sometimes you got to risk it for those kind of players, right? Like, yeah, I could have taken the guys I like DeAndre Swift, like, and let's be fair, outside of Jonathan Taylor. It's not like Jonathan Taylor's had what, like 2 really good years so far in 5 years, 2 out of 5. He's had really good years. DeAndre Swift has had what, 2 okay year, you know what I mean? J.K. Dobbins has none. I think DeAndre Swift's last year, maybe 1 year, but still, like, even by doing that, it's not like I would have taken probably J.K. Dobbins or DeAndre Swift. Like, yeah, I missed out, but if I would have taken J.K. Dobbins, I didn't miss out at all, right? Like, so sometimes it's just part of the game, right? Like, you have to swing on those guys that you believe in, and just like a professional baseball player, when you swing the bat, you're going to miss more times than you're going to hit, right? So, like, you have to be okay, and you have to be comfortable with that. That was a player, and listen, I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire tape, so don't get me wrong. It's not like I didn't like his tape anyways. Like, I liked his tape, and I let everything outside the tape kind of push it up there. And, like, again, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with that. Like, a guy who, I mean, I wasn't high on him. I'm trying to think of another guy, like, maybe like a guy like, who'd I like? trying to think of like maybe like a Dorial Green Beckham, right? Like you think like, oh, this like he's kind of like the Adonai Mitchell, right? Like, oh, dude, this guy puts it all together. Like he could be the guy. Now, granted, he went right around like pick 111 to 22 in most drafts. Like, and I didn't take a lot of him. I know Matt O'Hara is really big on him, but like he falls in that category too, right? Like of like, oh, this could be a miss. But Clyde, nothing's a bigger miss than taking somebody 1-1. Another huge miss for me was Zach Wilson, where I thought that Zach Wilson, like, I really liked his tape. Like, he reminded me of kind of Baker Mayfield, and everybody knows, if you know me, how much I love Baker Mayfield coming out. Pre-Browns, too. Like, I loved his tape so much coming out, his accuracy being over 70%. Like, I really liked Zach Wilson's tape. I really did. I thought I liked the way the ball came out. And then, when on the great tape grades, he was my quarterback, too. And then when he went to the Jets as the second overall quarterback, like I felt vindicated, right? Like, so that actually like that hurt me even more because like now I'm like, yeah, look at this. An NFL GM took this guy number two, and that's where I had him as my number two overall quarterback. Look at me. Like, you know what I mean? So like he was another big whiff that I had in rookie fever where like, you know, there's all this hype. Like, again, I didn't watch a single Zach Wilson game at all. But his name had started coming up, like, oh, this guy is rising up draft board. So when I watched his tape, I already knew that. I got excited about it, right? Like, I liked his tape. He was my number two quarterback. Then he gets drafted by the NFL. That boosted up. So now all of a sudden, I'm real big on Zach Wilson outside of Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, I'm real big on Zach Wilson. He's my number two quarterback. And I'm preaching this. And guess who took him in a league as the number two guy at quarterback? Me. And it was a whip. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, it was another real bad situation where, like, I'm taking two recent situations where I was in on a player and I got no reward whatsoever for my inness.
Yeah.
Very outness. Yeah.
That's the outness. That's the worst place to be on the outness.
It is. But we all miss.
I think the ones that make me feel more like I got burnt are the mistakes from the draft, but the ones that I kept hanging on to. And I mentioned it on the show through this series. And the one that came to mind the quickest for me was Kenneth Dixon.
Sorry, you cut out who?
Kenneth Dixon was the one that came to mind the quickest for me. And it's more because of how long I held on to him, waiting for him to be right, thinking that he was going to be the guy in that offense. I had so much Kenneth Dixon, but traded away Derrick Henry all day.
Listen, part of the process, you know what I mean? It is. And that's hard too, because it is. Once you put in the time and you draft that rookie pick, like, it's hard for you to give them up. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely when they're like, you took them in the first round, right? Like, it's hard for you to trade them definitely early. And like, that's one of my favorite strategies in Dynasty as well to do. Like, when a player that I really like goes out and they don't perform their first year, people are automatically down on them. So like, if I have a later first round pick and there's a player that went anywhere from pick 1-4 to 1-6, I have 1-9 the following year, and there's a player still there that didn't perform much that I still believe in, I really like, I love doing that move too. Like, hey man, this guy doesn't look like he might be much. Like, hey, I'll give you 1-9 for Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, like, here you go. And most of the times that won't work because, like you said, a lot of people have that rookie fever and they want to be vindicated on their pick, right? They want to be vindicated. They don't want to give out too early. Because then they look bad two ways. One, they wasted their draft pick trying to get in a guy. And then if they hit, they look foolish for trading him away so early as well. So I love doing that as well, where I can go out there and get a guy where everybody wants a new shiny toy, because this guy didn't put up over 700 yards like most rookies.
Nice. Swags, I got one more question before I bring him over to the landing spot draft. So I just wanted to check with you, see if you got anything before my last one.
I do have a couple questions.
I knew you did. I could tell.
Just from my listener perspective and things I've picked up on throughout this conversation. So I am curious. You mentioned Swift a couple times. How do you feel about him in that Chicago offense this year? Do you still have hope for DeAndre Swift? Is that rookie fever for Swift still with you going into his third team here?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a player who just got a good deal. You know, he's guaranteed to be the starter running back this year. He's got multiple years on that contract. A lot of that doesn't mean a lot, but he's going into a situation where this team's got a decent amount of draft capital. They're going to invest to protect. They have the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. They traded for Keenan Allen. They got DJ Moore, who is a wide receiver one already. There's rumors that they are going to take Romo Dunze or a wide receiver at 1-9. I would love that for them to build, beef up that offensive line and protect their investment at 1-1 instead, personally. Like, I wouldn't even mind if they kind of traded up actually from 1-9 to get in that like 1-8 range, possibly get this number one offensive lineman. But yeah, he's going to a situation where like Caleb Williams is mobile. He's really good outside the pocket. You have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and they add a third wide receiver. Like, you can't stack that box. Mm-hmm. You got to spy Caleb. Like, yeah, he's a good pass catcher running back. It's going to be a really good situation for Caleb to dump balls off to and feel good about it. He's really good in open field. He's really good with that stank leg out there as well. So yeah, I feel the best about DeAndre Swift that I ever had. And he showed last year in an offense that what he could do. And he had his best year, most productive year in an offense where he was never going to get the goal line carries whatsoever. Anyways, with Jalen Hurts there, he's not getting that short line stuff there and surrounded. And we showed what those weapons can do with a Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, and AJ Brown around him. So if you could throw like a Roma Dunze in that mix with a Caleb Williams, who I think is better than Jalen Hurts, yeah, I think it's really good news for him. I think it's a better situation for him with the potential to grow, and he can flirt with those running back one numbers. So I think this is a really good situation for him, and I'm excited because I have multiple DeAndre Swift shares, a player that I actually traded for when he was on the Lions. Definitely when the Jahmyr Gibbs news broke, like that was the best time to trade for DeAndre Swift, because at that point you knew they were probably going to offload him at that point. So, and those are my favorite times. I love to trade for players when breaking like trades happen or draft picks happen or like news breaks that they're in trouble, right? Because for the most part, we know if you're a good player, the NFL don't care if you're a bad boy, because you make them money, and they will find a way to get you back on the field no matter who you are. And I'm not going to say or name names. We can name tons of stars in the NFL right now that are not good people and not people you would want your kids to hang out with or you'd possibly hang out with, but they produce on the field. And honestly, for me, like, I know some people don't play this way. My co-host Matt O'Hara does not do this. If you're a really bad person, he does not want you on his team. Me, I could care less what you do in your personal life, because this is fantasy football. Like, I'm just trying to win. I don't care what you do. And I know it sounds pretty harsh. You know what I mean? Like, saying, like, literally, like, if you, like, ran somebody over your car, but they're going to let you play in NFL, like, I'm cool with it. Like, because, like, they're going to let you do it. Like, I know that sounds evil, but, like, I just don't care. I don't know
if it's saying that you're cool with it, though. I know it's like I relate that more to like Monopoly. Like, nobody wants the thimble, but you can still win with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't
protect your pinky.
If you don't take Deshaun Watson, somebody else is going to, right?
Yeah, me.
So with,
dude, I got so many Tyreek Hill shares when the news broke. So many.
Yeah. You know, and somebody's going to use them, and you don't want it to be somebody else playing it against you, because it's really taking money from you. And that's what you're trying to do, or a ring, whatever you may be winning. With that said, has Rashee Rice proven enough in 1 year in that offense to be a star?
I don't know about a star, because he was really more efficient with the ball in his hands. Like, they caught the ball at the line of scrimmage. Like, he wasn't like an overly dynamic receiver, but he was pretty good. He showed enough to me that where like I liked what I saw. Like, even like halfway through the football season, I was like, man, Jaden Reed and Rashee Rice, like, those are the guys to go buy right now. Like, if you're trying to get ahead of the price value point, I was like, Jaden Reed and Rashee Rice, like, those are the guys to go get out of this rookie class. You know, because obviously at that point, Puka was like, you're not getting Puka, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the guys I like the most. And I think Rashee Rice is nice. I mean, being the number one receiver in that offense is always a pro bono, but somebody you want in your roster. But like, I'm really curious, like, what do they do in the first round this year, right? Like, if they drafted Xavier Worthy, if they drafted Adonai Mitchell in the first round year, like, what does that do to Rashee Rice? Like, mm-hmm. Then bringing in Marquise Brown, that doesn't worry me in the least bit. Like, Marquise Brown's been very inefficient his entire career. It's a 1 year deal for like $7 million. It ain't nothing. Travis Kelce's almost older. So I think Rashee Rice has a role in there, and he could definitely be the number one receiver. But I'm also curious about what they do in the draft, right? Like, if they don't go wide receiver in the first, which I kind of do expect them to go wide receiver in the first in this class, then that could hurt Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. But he's shown enough for me. Like, so the answer to you is no. I don't expect him to be a wide receiver one, but I do see a very good path for him to be a very solid wide receiver two, which is still extremely valuable. So No, I don't think he's a wide receiver one. And I would have said that even – I would have said that no matter what. No accident, no nothing. Like, I don't view him that way. Because, again, like we said earlier, there's 12 of those guys, right? It's hard – that's a hard fraternity to get into. And more so to do it consistently. Like, anybody can sneak in for a year, right? Like, anybody can be sneaking in a year. Mm-hmm. Like, true, like a true wide receiver one. Like, an Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Like, he's a good example of, like, that mm-hmm. mid-range guy or even high-range guy. Mm-hmm. A Garrett Wilson is somebody who we expect to break into that role. That's hard to come by, and I don't think Rasheed Rice is that. And it's kind of like – and it's the same reason, like, why, like, on my show, some people think I'm crazy. Like, I kind of poo-poo on Ja'Marr Chase a little bit. And it's not because I don't think he's a wide receiver one and extremely talented, but he's drafted at and perceived as the number one or the number two overall mm-hmm. receiver. And this is a guy who hasn't even been a top three receiver, you know, yet. So, like,
right.
Hey, man, like, how long, like, are you just a mid-range wide receiver one, which is extremely valuable? Like, I don't ever say that. Like,
I got
but, like, you know, like, I have Amon-Ra St. Brown ranked ahead of Ja'Marr mm-hmm. Chase. I have CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. Why? Because they have more consistent output than Ja'Marr Chase in finishing. So, like, that's it's a results business, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to win chips. Who are the best players that put me in position to put myself in that championship chair? And I don't care if every site has Dynasty Ja'Marr Chase as wide receiver one or two, and everybody says I'm crazy for not doing it. For 4 years straight, he has not done that. CeeDee Lamb just did it last year. Where did CeeDee Lamb finish?
Yeah.
Wide receiver one overall. He's done it. He's done it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's like that's what I'm looking for. So when like a guy like Rasheed Rice, I'm like, okay, where does Rasheed Rice stand? What's his price point? Does Rasheed Rice have a chance to break in that wide receiver one mold? Probably not. Can he finish as wide receiver one year? Maybe two? Of course he possibly can. Like a lot of people. I mean, Mike Davis was a running back one year. So of course, I mean, Cole Beasley was a wide receiver one year. I mean, like those guys mm-hmm. can slip in there. Everybody always will slip in there. The Robert Woods, those guys will slip into that role. Sure. But like, I'm trying to acquire as many wide receiver ones as I possibly can because a championship caliber team is usually going to have one of those guys. Like, where's the consistency there on those guys? So for a guy, Rasheed Rice, I do like him. And I won't, like, I think he's a good buy now because of the legal matter because I think he'll still be just fine when it comes to playing in the NFL. But I view him more as like a really nice wide receiver two on my team. And if I was like a really good, if I'm trying to build a championship caliber team, like I would love for him to be my wide receiver three on my team.
Yeah,
that's what you want for a championship caliber team, right? Like you mm-hmm. want a wide receiver two overall, or not overall, but a wide receiver two, which is wide receiver 13 to 24 to be your wide receiver three, right? That's how we're building championships. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of guys you want as wide receiver three. And then you want a wide receiver one, and then you want another high end wide receiver two or a wide receiver one. But usually when you have those guys and you're missing somewhere else, right? Then now you don't have two running back ones or a running back one. So it's like, how do you build your stack? How do you build your deck of cards here? And that's how I view kind of Rasheed Rice. Again, I had a very mm-hmm. long-winded answer because I usually tend to get very long-winded answers. Sometimes go
no,
off.
No, you're fine. I love it. And I think that's one of the things that worries me with Rice as well isn't just – I don't want to unpack everything you just said, but the flashes we've seen from even Mecole Hardman while we were worried about Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill obviously is a stud, but then Tyreek goes away and we see Juju have a pretty decent season with Mahomes and then he goes away and then they bring in the next guy and Rice does good. Like yeah. It just seems like obviously like you said, Kelsey's getting older. He's probably going to retire soon, but it seems like Mahomes can do pretty good with whoever is out there. Nobody's been Tyreek or anything, but it seems like they find a way to replace them.
Which is good, though. And that's part of the equation, right? Like, he's tied to Pat Mahomes probably for the next 3 years, and Pat Mahomes makes the play. He's an elevator, right? Like, mm-hmm. he elevates the player around him. There's not a lot of QBs in the NFL that elevate the players around him. Not a lot at all. He's one of those guys. So, like, the fact that he is tied to Pat Mahomes increases his overall dynasty value. Because you're right. If you put Rasheed Rice maybe on the Denver Broncos, he's not nearly as valuable. But that's part of the factor. You know, where these rookies go in the NFL draft, it does change your rank set, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. matter where you have them ranked now because, listen, draft capital matters. System matters.
Yep.
Offensive lines matter. Quarterbacks matter. Other receivers on their team matter. Like, all that matters. If Jonathan Brooks is my number one overall running back on tape, and then he goes to the New York Jets, It does not matter anymore that on tape he was my number one overall running back because now he's on the Jets. I love Ladd McConkey. I love him. Like, he's my wide receiver four. I think he's a stud. I think he's super safe, right? And I put money into that. If Ladd McConkey goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, Ladd McConkey is no longer my wide receiver five. You know what I mean? So, like, like stuff like that matters. Like, it really does matter. You can't paint yourself into a corner with a take or a grade or a rookie take because things are going to alter that and alter that player situation. The NFL draft will alter that. The NFL draft and the team they go to will alter that. Every week, situations are altered. Every year, it's altered. And that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, those championship windows are so hard to come by because so many things change, not on a yearly basis, on a weekly basis in the NFL. The NFL is in the news every single week. Things change all the time. Trades happen that you didn't see coming. Nobody, people did think Stephon Diggs is going to get traded. But Stephon Diggs goes from being the number one receiver in Buffalo, and people are like, man, the Bills really got to take a receiver in the first round because all they got now with Gabe Davis gone is Stephon Diggs. You're feeling really good. To literally a week later, Stephon Diggs is now in the Houston Texans with Tank Dell and Nico Collins, two players that Dynasty was absolutely salivating over. And yeah, Stephon Diggs is potentially the number one there, but like I'd argue that Nico Collins is a very solid X who already has a really good rapport with C.J. Stroud, and Stephon Diggs on a one-year deal. So like, you know, things change so quickly in the NFL. We never know when somebody's going to get traded. We never know when somebody's going to get hit on a jet ski and their knee's going to get blown out and they're out for the year. We never know when somebody's going to tear an Achilles playing basketball in the offseason. You just never know. Situations change on a daily, weekly basis. And that's when you play Dynasty. You always have to be prepared and ready to pivot.
What is the best pick you will give me to get you back in on CEH? Give me a 304, 406. Where are we at here?
Yeah, you're probably talking fourth round, right around there, honestly, because for this draft class, like just knowing how deep this draft class is, like, do I rather have CEH or do I want to gamble on Amani Bailey? Do I want to take CEH or do I want to take, if he gets drafted in the right spot, like a Blake Watson, who nobody wants to talk about. You know what I mean? Do I want to take CEH or I want to take the upside of one of these super deep receivers in the third, right? Like that's where it's at. So like
maybe even another vet, like when somebody's on the clock, you could probably do better than CEH with your picks if you wanted to trade them away.
I mean, veterans are so easy. Like I could go out there and trade for James Conner and feel very, here's a much better example. I'd rather just go get Gus Edwards for the same exact price tag almost, right? Like the same exact price tag. A guy who's averaged 5 yards per carry, who's on a team that's going to run first, who has no receivers, who are probably going to, you know what I mean? Like that's the move. So CEH is a real hard one to get me back in on. But for a fourth round pick, like I'm like, I'll gamble. They did re-sign him. You know, like they re-signed him for a reason. He knows the offense. What if Pacheco goes down? You know what I mean? Like, what if he goes down? Running backs go down all the time. Yeah. Guess what? Pacheco hasn't gone down yet. Baby's due. Come on. Yeah.
Baby's due.
We're 9 months into this, baby. Come on.
Panero, I want you to answer this one, too, eventually, or first, or however you guys spit it out. James Cook or the 112?
James Cook.
Yeah, probably James. Yeah, I would definitely lean James Cook right now, but it would really depend on who's there at 112, too. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
You know, James Cook today on paper looks really good. They already put a second round pick into him. This guy with the whole offense, he's viable in the pass game. He looked pretty damn good last year, too. Faded a little bit towards the end, but looked pretty good throughout the year. But like, literally a week from today, not a week from today, but 9 days from today, who's to say they don't grab Braylon Allen in the third? Who's to say they don't grab Jalen Wright in the third, right? Like, hey, like we have to, like, we know the receivers. We got to open up this run game. We don't feel like we like James Cook too. We invest him. He's the guy, but this is a dual back committee kind of league, right? So like we got to draft a guy and all of a sudden now you're like, oh, I kind of like that rookie they brought in. He has a chance to kind of take some carries away from him. You know what I mean? Like things change. So today, James Cook for sure. Like for sure. But like it does depend on like this is such a deep draft class. Like I would always say 112 because that it's so easy for those, like I said, 50-50 historically to bust. But in super flex tight end premium leagues this year, like I would go against those odds for this year only because there's some really – but, like, again, it depends who it is. Like, if it's James Cook or Adonai Mitchell, yeah, I'd probably just go ahead and lean James Cook. But, yeah. like, if it's James Cook and Ladd McConkey, let me see where Ladd McConkey goes first, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, Ladd McConkey and the Carolina Panthers that need a lot of help? Okay. Oh, Ladd McConkey slips to the second. He goes to the Chargers with Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. and there's nobody else really. Like, he's competing against Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me Ladd McConkey, right? Because I believe in the player.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. right now, today, James Cook, but every draft would be a little bit different on paper.
Yeah, and not only that, but to all your points, if they do draft, Buffalo drafts a running back, then there's going to be narrative street, even if we know in our hearts that James Cook is the running back one for that team. There's still going to be narratives that will create a window where you'll probably have a easier time acquiring James Cook right after the draft.
Yeah. So it's a good time for prices to deflate. Like, now is the mm-hmm. worst time to trade for any draft picks away, because, like, those draft picks, like I said, can only go in value. Because if one of those guys do slip, like you said, mm-hmm. the rookie fever kicks in, and I Mitchell's there is 112, and people are like, wow, I can't believe he slipped. This is my wide receiver 4, right? Like, on right. their board, he's wide receiver 4. Now he's sitting there at 112. Oh, shit. I'll give you Dalton Kincaid. Like, oh, all right.
Yes, dude, it
happens.
Please.
It happens during rookie drafts. It's like a hysteria kicks in. Like that. Those mushrooms you just ate just kicked in during draft pick, and you get super excited because that's the time where you're ready to go.
Love it.
So, like, that's why you got to hold on to those bad boys. And that's why for me, like, if you said, hey, I'll give you 112 for James Cook, right? I'd say, okay, hey, man, that sounds like a good deal. Can we hold off just one more week till our rookie? I just want to see who's going to be there, right? And it's the best way to say it. If my guy's not there, we'll make a trade. And a lot of times then what'll happen, what for the most part you'll see, is definitely come draft day. Like, what if I give you James Cook in 210 for 112? You're like, oh, okay, yeah, deal.
Like, yeah, right. You know, you got more. Yeah.
Yeah, I try to tell people all the time, man. Like, just when people are trying to trade for your draft picks, unless it's a clear overpay, like, if they're willing to offer you that now, today, a month before the draft, they're going to offer you more come draft day. And, like, I have a pick in one of my leagues where I have 1-4 in Superflex. And, man, this guy has been trying to trade for it forever, man. And he offered me, he offered me Debo Samuel, DeAndre Swift, a 25 second, a 26 first,
wow.
and something else. And I still declined.
Wow, that's a haul.
Yeah. And then I also have 1-1 in that league. And he came to me. He offered me DeAndre Swift, Kyren Williams, Debo Samuel, some tight end, because it's tight end premium, 2 second round picks, and a 26 first. And I believe wow. his team's going to be bad in 26 too. That's a big thing about it. It's one of those. He does not have a 25 first, which is why he's offering my 24 first. And he doesn't have a 24 first either. He only has one quarterback. So it's why he's offering these trades, because he really wants a quarterback. And I know. And I've been super tempted, but I'm like, you know what? No. Because I know come draft day, if Jaden Daniels is there, he will up that. Like, that offer he offered me for 1-1 of Kyren Williams, DeAndre Swift, Debo Samuel, 2 seconds and a 26 first. I'll probably get that for 1-4 possibly, or something around those deals. So, like, no, I'm just going to wait. Like, cause I know when that pick is up, or the day of the draft, that's when that pick is most valuable.
Yeah.
So we definitely talked earlier about how you believe landing spots matter for several reasons. So we have a best landing spots of 2024 rookie draft we've been doing with each and every guest that jump on. So all you're going to do right now while I read you the list is start to think of really good, juicy landing spots for either a tight end, a wide receiver, or a running back. And I'll read you the ones that have already been taken.
Okay.
Very slowly to give you that chance. So the very first pick was John Hogue at 101 and went Arizona wide receiver. Good pick. But then it drops off a little bit. Second pick off the board, Miami tight end. Third pick off the board, Cleveland running back. Fourth off the board was probably my 102 at the time, Chargers running back. Then after that, at the 105, Buffalo wide receiver. Then the 101, probably Cowboys running back.
Yeah, I would say that's easily the one.
Right.
It's about Cowboys running back, yeah.
At 106. Then we got Chicago wide receiver. Chargers wide receiver at the 108, another good one. Steelers wide receiver at the 109. Giants wide receiver at 110. And Rich, you have the 111.
Could I Can I say the Bears quarterback?
Quarterbacks are not included. It's got to be wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends.
I would pick Arizona running back. Does that count?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely does.
That's a good one. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of ones that I like here. But, you know, with anticipation that they have Kyler Murray, who's a very mobile quarterback, he'll get outside. The history there of showing at a running back like James Conner's actually had pretty good success there. The fact that they're going to go get Marvin Harrison Jr., which would be a true number one. They don't have a lot of other passing games, so they will still have to run the football. But they know with Kyler, they're probably going to rein him back in on his rushing, you know, some because of what happened with his injury. So, like, I think, you know, if Arizona's really going to turn this thing around and become a player, like, I feel like having – like, this is it for James Conner. It's going to be the last year he's in out there. Like, I feel like getting that Arizona running back is something I'd feel good about, because if they're going to build around Kyler, they're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., and they're really going to turn this team around, then, yeah, these bad teams eventually are going to turn good being out there in the desert. I would probably take an Arizona running back because it's going to be a quick path to success. And we saw all those other teams that need a running back. So, like, I'm surprised, like, somebody picked the Cleveland running back overtime, because, like, one, I don't really think the Browns, you know, never being a Browns fan, even go running back early. They're way more apt to go wide receiver or defensive tackle or linebacker. And they brought in Nyheim Hines. They brought in Deontay Foreman. And their starter from last year, Jerome Ford, still on the roster as well on his rookie contract. And Nick Chubb will be back this year. Like, it might not be till October, but he will be back this year. So, like, I don't think the Browns and remember, and I'm sure the Browns know this too, next year's running back class is very deep. It's like this year's wide receiver class, so it's very deep. So I think the Browns are much better off, and they finally have a first-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they wait till then to grab a running back. So I think Arizona is a much more sexier spot this year for the running back class, or that spot. That'd get me excited. Like, any running back they draft, like, if they take Marshawn Lloyd or Jalen Wright, like, ooh, that's a high second-round rookie pick for me. You know, like, that's a situation. That's what I want, because I'm chasing opportunity and I want those running backs. Like, you want the 13th best wide receiver, you want the 4th best running back. Like, yeah, give me the best running back.
I like it.
I have one more important question before we get out of here.
It would swags.
Anything new coming on Dynasty Nerds
that we should know about?
Or anything, any sneak peeks we can get here tonight?
I mean, we just launched, like, 2 weeks ago, the new player cards, which I think are super dope on the GM. Yep. So, like, when you open a player card, like, you have tons of information on there. You have their overall fantasy football finishes and scores. You have each one of their individual ranks by all of our people on the podcast. You have their ADP chart, which is going to, now we just launched it, but it's going to chart their ADP historically. And my favorite part about the player card, too, is not only does it show you every team that player is on, it also shows you where that player is ranked on their team, right? So, like, hey, I want to go trade for DJ Moore. I go through GM. I click on DJ Moore in the GM. I bring up his player card. It shows me who has him, but more importantly, it tells me where DJ Moore is on that team. It'll tell me if DJ Moore is his wide receiver 1, his wide receiver 2, his wide receiver 3, because, like, knowing that helps facilitate a trade, right? Like, if I know DJ Moore is your wide receiver 3, I know there is a much greater chance that you're going to be willing to trade DJ Moore to me, right? And the price tag won't be, like, nutso. If DJ Moore is your number one wide receiver in your team, okay, this is going to be a much harder trade to facilitate.
Sure.
I know I'm going to come in with a strong offer, right? Like, it won't be of a strong offer, as strong of an offer if he's wide receiver 3 on your team. So that's an update we just did, along with the update we did not too long ago, where, like, the whole GM can operate off your own rankings. So, like, if you know, because the biggest thing that I saw is, like, with trade calculators, people are like, oh, those values are crap. Like, nobody, you know, whatever. Okay. And I knew that going into it. So for the GM, I was like, you know what? You can have the whole app operate off your own rank set. Like, so if you think that Mike Fanaro is the greatest dynasty mind in the world, you can input Mike's rankings in there and the whole GM will operate off that. If you want to put your own in there because you're like, I understand Dynasty better than somebody else, the trade calculator, the analyzer, everything will operate off of that, right? And you can switch between all that. Like, you switch between GM, like the Dynasty Nerds. You can switch it from the ADP. Like, there's so many different ways the app works on that. Cool. So that's another update we did. And down the road, yeah, man, we have our big Dynasty Nerds meeting during the NFL draft this year. We have ideas that came in last year that we weren't able to build, because, listen, it's hard to build stuff, right? And then we just had that sleeper integration where the Dynasty GM is in the sleeper app, And like we had to put like a lot of time into that to make sure it worked. So we had to put a couple months in that. So we lost some time. But yeah, man, we got some cool stuff coming. We got some games that are going to come hopefully into the app that we want to have so people can play and like actually be active outside your leagues as well and play actually some games that we have. So we have some new stuff coming. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like there will always be new things coming, right? Like I have a laundry list of things I want into the Dynasty GM app, a laundry list. But things take time, things take money to build. And that's what we preach on the Dynasty Nerds podcast. Like when you join the Nerd Herd and you become a subscriber to Dynasty Nerds, not only do you get the cool tools, which I think are the best tools in the business personally. Like I think Dynasty GM is the best tool in the business.
I agree. And, you
know,
I agree.
I am someone that's been playing Dynasty for 20 years. So like I know what I want and I would hope other people want. So I put that into an app. We're one of the only Dynasty apps out there right now, right? Like the only app. It's free to download, by the way, too. You can free download it. You can use it. Like anything that's free, you can use it in a generic form. Once you subscribe, which is literally just the price of a cup of coffee a month, you get full access. You know, and when you get access to the Nerd Herd, you get like the app. You get the film room. You get the Nerd Scores. You get the bonus podcasts. But like the promise that we make is for every subscription that we get, you know, that money doesn't go to line more my pockets. That is more money for us to build more dope tools for you to use and give you more resources to win. Because that's what we want to do. That's our goal here, is to put you in the best position to win. We always say, like, listen to our podcast, listen to Rookie Fever, listen to DLF, listen to Dynasty Trade Calculator, listen to Ray Garvin, listen to Dynasty Zoltan, listen to Redraft Guys. Like, listen to all this. These are all tools and all information to put yourself in position to win, right? Opinions. Which ones stick? Which ones you hear the most? Who has a history, right? Like, when people argue with me, I'm like, listen, dude, I've been doing a podcast for 10 years. All my takes are recorded. Like, you can listen back to what I said. Like, if you don't like what I'm saying, then don't listen. That's fine, too. Like, but, like, my proof is always in the pudding. Like, I have nothing to hide behind because my takes are out there in the world and they're written in stone. So, for us, man, like we have there's lots of stuff coming and there will always be stuff coming. Like we didn't build an app to be there. Like we will constantly be updating the app. Right now in our leadership group chat on Microsoft Teams, we literally have a laundry list of things that are getting built for the GM. And some things get pushed back, some things get pushed up. Some, you know, like I can't remember what like the next thing that's on the pipeline. I think it's to do historical ADP. We want to get in there too. That's sort of said, or I can't remember to leave the last message I put into like what I wanted. like something I put a message like, hey, it'll be really cool for the GM. Let me see if I can find the message for you real quick. If I can find it, can I just tell you like something that we're gonna build that's not in there? I can't find it. I know we just signed a big deal. We just paid a certain company for a lot of data. Like a lot of data, like, you know, like those tracking data companies where they track every single snap.
Right.
And all that. Nice. Like, so like we're going to have a lineup optimizer come in to the GM. That should be out coming out this year where like it's going to put you like the best position, like to optimize your lineup. And we're going to use like some really good data that we paid a lot of money for. Like, and we signed a long-term contract too for this company. So we're paying a lot of money to get like really good data and projections out there to help build your lineup, right? Like to help facilitate yourself, to put yourself in the best position to win. So that's something coming down the road, like a lineup optimizer. I try not to speak out of school because sometimes I'll say something's coming real soon and then it doesn't come out for nine months. But I know that's something we're real diligent on. We like to get ready for the season. So yeah, man, always check the app. Our goal is to at least have an update every 6 months, right? Like a cool update every 6 months to come out and constantly keep updating. So like if you got a Dynasty GM when it first came out, which is like a year ago, essentially, maybe a little over a year ago, I can't remember at this point, like everything just flies by, you'll know it's a drastically different tool than it was then and so much better. And that's a promise we're going to keep giving you is like, this new data we purchased, we're going to find ways to put on the site as well. Like we're constantly taking that money that we're getting and reinvested it in the subscribers, right? Like, cause that's our number. That's our bread and butter. Literally. Those are the people that pay us, our subscribers. So we want to do everything we possibly can to take that money and invest back into them and give them tools to be champions, right? Like to be Dynasty Fantasy Football Championship. And it's all we care about. We're going to keep investing that. We want to be a one-stop shop. Like I talk about like we're all in this together, but we want to make sure Dynasty Nerds is the one you have to have, right? Like if you're going to pay for a service, and everybody offers paid services out there, Patreons, websites, we understand. Mm-hmm. There's only so much money to go around for you to give, and you want to give to the people that you know you feel are going to put you in the best position to win. We want to make sure that we're in the best position to help you win. So that's our goal. That's been my goal since the first day I started Dynasty Nerds over 10 years ago. And it's my goal. Here we are, one decade later. I'm a lot uglier. I'm a lot older. But I'm definitely a lot wiser, though, at the same point. So I am so excited to see where this app is going to be 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Because I think 3 years from now, this app will be what you want. And like anything, like all like the people that have been Nerd Herd members forever, right? They're grandfathered into their pricing. We never raised their prices ever.
It's awesome.
You know what I mean? And awesome. We all know, like go to the grocery store today, mm-hmm. right? Go buy stuff today. But prices just go up. And it's not because, you know, like we would never, we have no plan. And I'm going to say this, we have no plans to raise prices, but naturally things always get more expensive. So like anytime the sooner you get in on something, like when I say it's a price of a cup of coffee, like that's great. Cause even your coffee is more expensive.
Yeah. Right.
And like, and like I said, I mean, the way I look at it, these tools is you spend so much time investing all year long in Dynasty. Like why not invest a little back in some tools and resources to help you better? And like the biggest thing for the GM too is like, we built this for like, yeah, it's real cool if you have one Dynasty League. It's really built for like the Dynasty player that has 3, 4, me, who's in 20 leagues, right?
Right,
Once you're in 5 leagues, this tool is what you
absolutely
want.
Because
it puts it all in every – it doesn't matter what your hosting platform. You got 5 different hosting platforms. They're all in one spot, right? Like they're all in one spot. So I know, again, another long-winded answer, man, but like that's what we're here to do is just build dope-ass tools and give you the best resources, right? Like we know we have the best film room out there to watch rookies. We know we have that, right? Definitely.
I think you've lived up to it. I think that you've met and exceeded any expectations that any of us ever had when we first started tuning in to Dynasty Nerds. Honestly, I mean that sincerely. I know Fenero feels the same way. I thank you a ton for coming on tonight.
Yeah, Rich.
At Dynasty Rich.
We have no more questions. That's it. No more rookie fever questions.
We could maybe get some. I mean, do you have some more questions, Monero? He's asking for more.
I think I'm all out for tonight, Swags.
Oh, if we're done. That's fine too. I just thought there was another question.
No, we end every show on the rookie draft, and I think you got mid first round value at the 111 with Arizona RV. I like that one.
We'll see. Yeah. That was really quick. I'm sure if I looked there, I'll probably look on the bed tonight. I'm like, man, there's another guy I like there. That'd be nice there.
You know? It's a tough on the spot question because you're trying to think through, and then he's like, nope, no quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'm like, Caleb Williams 1-1. So no, I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate having me on. I'm always enjoy coming on your guys' show. So it's
appreciate
always fun.
You back, Rich.
I'm always
thank
open.
You so
anytime you guys need to talk some Dynasty, like I said, I'm always, it's what I do, man. This is my job, is I talk Dynasty. So like when you guys send me show sheets and people are like, hey, you need, I'm like, nah, man, just you ask the questions, I have an answer. I do this every day. I don't research. I don't sit around and plan out my day on the shows. Like I don't even do show sheets for Dynasty Nerds. So I just go
right.
Talk what I want to talk about. So
yeah, you definitely
appreciate
make it,
boys.
It easy.
Yeah, hey, we'll talk soon. I can't wait to see you guys in Canton this August. It's going to be fun as it always is. And we'll be talking most likely Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Most likely.
At Dynasty Rich on Twitter, at ArtBarkTV, and me at Swag00G, at Rookie Fever. We are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever is
isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
He got the 101 stat and he's never done this stupid fool and run. I told you anyone, size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever. So she got the fever. And he got the fever. No cure for the fever. So let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever. Fever.
Now you got the fever, 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 now you got the fever.